Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. We'd love to stay connected with you by following us on social media at Freedom House OC, as well as our YouTube channel. Let's listen in on today's message.
To share this message with you tonight on how to prepare you for a 2019 that's going to win. We're going to win in 2019, amen. And God did not design you for failure, okay? He has no failure plan for your life. So don't ever say, oh, this was God's plan for me to fail. No. There is no failure plan by God. It may look like failure in the world's eyes, but it's never failure in God's eyes. Say amen. So if you got your Bibles, go with me. And I want to read you this passage of scripture that's found in the book of Exodus, the book of Get Out of Here. Exit, because they exited. Tough crowd. All right, amen. So Exodus chapter number 17. And what we're about to read here is the story of Moses. And in this particular story, the scripture here, I want to extract 4 points that I see that I believe is God showing us how to win when we got some battles that we're going through. Anybody go through battles? Some of you are like, I can't even say amen. I got so many battles. I'm sitting next to my battle. Anyway, come on. Verse 8. If you didn't get a message outline, lift your hand or usher will pass that to you. And you can follow with me here. But Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8 through 13. And we're going to kick off some revival nights here. And by the way, don't miss a Wednesday in January. We're bringing in some of the best communicators, speakers, preachers. We got Prophet Mike Maiden coming in a few weeks, one of the Wednesdays. And I'm going to tell you, he's a real prophet, like a real prophet. I'm not talking about like, you know, sometimes like this real prophets are like, they'll tell you what you ate this morning. I mean, one time he told me your build, he started praying for me. He told me exactly what our building looked like. I was like, whoa. And he said, God's going to give you 4 more. And I was like, oh, I thought it was grace for 5. And the Lord said, add. Oh yeah, 4 plus 1, 5. That's right. Thank you, Lord. No, he didn't even know about our grace for 5 vision. Anyway, a real prophet is coming. You don't want to miss that service. Don't be afraid of prophets, okay? Because see, what happens is people go to psychics. That's demonic. They go to horrible scope to hear their future, but they don't go to God's word and God's prophets. And so we're bringing the prophet to the house of God when we're fasting. Y'all better get ready. Anyway, it's going to be amazing on Wednesdays, but I want to kick it off tonight with this word. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 13. The Bible reads like this, and it says, the Amalekites came, and what did they do? They attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. The Bible says, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men. Say our men. That is very important. I'll get to that in the message. But he says, choose some of our men. Don't just go try to choose anybody, but choose some of our men and go fight those Amalekites. Be very careful who you choose to do battle with in 2019. He says, tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses, watch this scripture here, it's very, very peculiar, but so powerful. It says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So when his hands were lifted, his team would win. When his hands went down, the opponent would win. To that here a second. Verse 12 says, Moses' hands grew tired, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until when? Sunset. That is a long time to have your hands raised. So Joshua, verse 13, Bible says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with what? The sword. Joshua overcame with the sword. I want to talk to you tonight. The title of my message here to encourage us and to get us to go forward is how I fight my battles. I want you to set up your 2019 to be great. Let's pray. Bow your head. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. This whole worship experience, God, is one big prayer meeting. We started with praise, not with our problems. Then, Father, we pray to you. We give to you. And now, Father, we sit at the table, Father, to commune with you, with your word. We put ourselves in a student posture. May we never think we got it all figured out. So Holy Spirit, speak to us, the voice within the voice. Your people did not come to hear my voice. They came to hear your voice. I'm simply your vessel, Lord. So allow me the grace to hear what you would have for us, Father, for this year and this people, Father, these marriages, these singles, God, these men and women, these children, for so many more represented than what's in this room and watching online, for their lives affect tens of thousands of people. So Father, speak to us and posture us to win as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout, amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, we're going to win. Just say, we're going to win. And tell your second choice, you were made to win. Come on, you too. You were made to win. And that is absolutely right. Get your pins out. You're going to want to take some notes for this one. You're going to get brownie points in heaven if you take notes, okay? Amen. Let me start with a statement. And I think this will be one of the pivotal messages that will kind of catapult or at least give you some parameters to get through and navigate through some battles that perhaps you might have gone through, or you're going to want to use this when you go through a battle in 2019. Because again, this every message, so you know, is two things. It's either seed or bread. Bread that feeds you right now or seed that will feed you months from now. So never discount a message. Don't be like, oh, this one's not for me. That's my friend. I'm glad they came. Okay. You're going to need this one. All right. So this is one of those seed. This is either seed or bread, but you're going to need this one because I'm going to talk to you tonight about how to win the battles that 2019 may have for you. And there's will be some battles in 2019. Amen. All the married people said, all the parents. Come on. I'll start by saying is that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Okay. And I don't want to say that to point to get you, you know, intimidated or worried at every turn you turn. The devil, you know. But you do, the Bible says, have to be aware of the enemy's schemes. The Bible says, be sober and alert. Tell your neighbor, wake up. So when the scripture says that, it just says that we should always be prepared, on guard. We should always be ready when something comes our way. Scripture says be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't mean just to preach on the spot. That means that you always got a word in you. That means that you're always prepared for whatever life may throw your way, whether it be in the middle, at night, in the morning, on the freeway. Come on, whatever throws your way, you're prepared. Because life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And sooner or later, you will realize this, that Christianity is something that we are often fighting for to move forward. I should say this is that it is a fight for those that want to see God do something new. Because when you're comfortable and you're just happy where you're at, then you're kind of like, well, I don't really see any battles. Then that's a sign that it's time for you to do something new, okay? So like if you don't feel like you're not fighting anything, then you got to check your direction. Maybe you're going the same way as the devil. Come on, somebody, okay? If you're like, I'm not going through nothing, then two things. Either you're facing the wrong direction or you need to start dreaming again. Because that is proof that you've mastered that level. It means you got comfortable. You have all the answers. You know how to put everything together. And so the absence of a battle is the presence of being comfortable. That means that there's time for you to challenge, to take on a new challenge. And so tonight, so I know I'm talking to the right people. Anybody ready to take some new challenges on in 2019? Okay, amen. So you're going to realize this, is that when you start serving God and you start saying, God, I want you to do something new in my life, that you're going to realize that there's some battles that you're going to go through. Now, something I've realized is that the hardest battles in my life, stay with me here, the hardest battles in my life were not when I was unsaved. The hardest battles in my life was when I gave my life to Jesus. See, that's a real talk, okay? That's real talk. Those were the hardest battles in my life. Because when I wasn't saved and I was like just living for the devil, I didn't care what you thought. Okay? Matter of fact, that was like just whatever. I don't care. You and your mama. Come on, somebody. I'll do whatever I want to do. We got beat up in life, but that wasn't the hardest battle. You talk to some real men and some real women and some real people, they'll tell you, no. The hardest battles in my life was when I decided to live for Jesus. The hardest battles in my life was not throwing in the towel on my faith when everything told me I should have just gave up. The hardest battle in my life was not cussing out that person. Talk to me, somebody. The hardest battle in my life was not giving up when my feelings got hurt. Okay, what my hardest battle in my life was having to forgive people when they didn't deserve my forgiveness. Oh, talk to me now. It was so easy for me. Well, God bless you. Come on. Pray for us that God is still working on us. The hardest battle in my life was not letting offense set in, was letting go of revenge. That was a battle. And I've realized that when I gave my life to God, this is real talk. This is real talk. This is going to help you. Because sometimes we give our life to God thinking, I'll never go through anything again. That's a lie. Who told you that? Who told you that? No. It's the battle begins when you start serving God. And the first battle you're going to fight is not the enemy, but the inner me. And you got to fight your mind and fight, you know, your default settings, fight the propensity to want to go back to your old life. You got to fight those things because it is a fight. And that's why it takes a real man and a real woman to serve God. Shout amen. Real person. And what I've realized too in this, in my serving God, and again, I'm trying to set you up for 2019 here, is that in serving God, I've realized is the battles, I don't have to go looking for them. They come to me. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Serving God, I've realized, like, I don't have to go find the battle. Where's the battle? Where's the battle? Where's the battle? I'm just living my life, and whoa, it just shows up. You know, I just, like, the battle comes to your home. The battle comes to your marriage. The battle comes to your mind. The battle comes to your phone. The battle comes to your friendships. The battle comes to your church. The battle comes to your neighborhood. The battle comes to your children. You're like, all I'm trying to do is live for God. Why is these battles coming? But I want to encourage you that just because you have a battle doesn't mean you've lost your God. Okay? That the battle does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. You got to trust God in the middle of that battle. So don't you give up. You keep fighting in 2019. Say amen. So we need to realize that Christianity is a battleground, not just a playground. But if we approach Christianity as a playground, that's why you're not seeing breakthroughs, because you're still playing hide and go seek. Come on, somebody. We need to go seek God and hide from sin, and we'll see breakthrough, because Christianity is a battleground, not a playground. We need to get this mindset as fathers, as men. Come on, fellas, that it's a battle. That if I'm going to see God bring breakthrough to my family, I'm going to have to fight for it. That it's not just going to somehow happen. You know, I'm going to have to fight to be that man. I'm going to have to fight to have that marriage. I'm going to have to fight to be a father. I'm going to have to fight, come on, to have integrity. I'm going to have to fight for that. I'll take the 4 claps, fellas. I felt your clap inside. Okay. You know, you have to fight to be that man. You have to fight to be like, no, I am not going to be a stereotypical person. I'm going to do what God called me to do. Because you used to fight in the world. Come on now. Some of you take your earrings, girls, you take your earrings off so quick. Now you got saved and, well, I don't know the devil, you know. Come on. Let's go. Some of you guys, you would be like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Now you're not fighting no more. Now you're so passive and letting the enemy just run through your family and your destiny and your manhood. Come on, fight for something. Talk to me, somebody. Say amen. I know it's not a men's meeting, but let me talk to the fellas real quick, okay, ladies? But ladies, too, it's a fight, okay? We need to see you, woman of God. Say amen. Deborahs. Come on, Deborahs. Some of you are like, who's Deborah? Read your Bible. All right. Ouch. She fought. That's why. Okay, she fought. All right. In the Old Testament, it was a physical battle. In the New Testament, it's a spiritual battle. Okay. So in the verses we read a physical battle. But the Old Testament revealing to us things that happened physically that really in the New Testament happened spiritually. Because the scripture said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, watch this now. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, boo-boo, or, come on, ray-ray. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not fighting against you. Okay, no, I'm not. I know you think you are, but you're not. Okay. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of this dark age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness that are in heavenly places. So let me set the battleground. The New Testament battleground is not people. It is spiritual things that are influencing people. Okay. So I have got to learn how to fight the puppet master that is playing the person that's coming against me. Okay. So you got to learn how to fight the spirit that's behind them and love the person that's in front of you. That's spiritual warfare 101, by the way. Okay. So I gotta love this person and know they don't even realize that they're being manipulated and influenced by demons. And they're going crazy on me, but that's not them. That's that they're listening to the whisper of the demon in the ear. But I already know that spirit because it tried to get me when I was younger, but I defeated it. So I love you even in your addiction, even in your nonsense, even in your folly. I forgive them for they know not what to do, but let me fight the devil that's behind. Go talk to me, somebody. Okay? I got to fight in a spiritual realm. So I want to calibrate our spiritual senses that the fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. So life is not a playground, it's a battleground, and we got to learn how to fight these things. Now, in the verses we just read is a powerful description and a powerful illustration of a physical battle that's won in a spiritual way. Because the Bible says that these verses, that Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. They had just been delivered. We're in Exodus chapter 17, the book of Get Out of Here, the book of Exodus. They had just left Pharaoh's grip, and they got delivered, and they crossed the Red Sea, and now they're about to go into the promised land. They're not bugging nobody. They didn't step on anybody's grass. They're not trying to pick a fight. All they're trying to do is get to their promise. And as they're getting to their promise, the Bible says in verse number 8, you can put up there for me on the screens. I'll preach from the screens for the sake of time. It says that the Amalekites came and they attacked Israel at Rephidim. So they were minding their own business, and the Amalekites, or the enemy, came and attacked them. And this is a picture of our lives, that you're like, all I'm trying to do is live for God. I'm not trying to kill nobody. I might have thought about it, but I'm not trying to do it, Lord. I'm not trying to hurt no one. All I'm trying to do is honor God. Why am I getting these battles? And I want you to know the reason the enemy fights you is the same reason the Amalekites fight the Israelites. They fought the Israelites not because of where they were, but because of where they were going. And every battle you face, man of God, every battle you face, parent, every battle you face, woman of God, every battle you face, single person, every battle that you go through is never about who you are today, but who you're becoming down the line. So when you feel the battle get real hot, it's because the devil sees potential in you. And let that be a sign. When you're going through all of hell breaking loose, I mean, it's attacking you from the left, the right, your car broke down, your cat ran away, your dog isn't listening. Come on, somebody. Your kids are getting bullied. You're like, I feel like I'm getting fought everywhere. I want you to remember this message because I gave it to you in 2019. Pastor told me that when I'm going through battles, that means that the enemy sees potential in me and he knows where I'm going. That's why some of you, real talk, you didn't go through more battles until you got saved. You're like, I used to be like, shout. Then I go, Jesus, come in my heart. Now I feel like everything's going crazy. I don't think like this Jesus stuff is working. No, it's working. It's working. And the battle is the proof. Because if the enemy didn't see you as a threat, he wouldn't fight you. When you were on his team, he let you ruin your own life. He let you just, but now he says, oh, no, he's headed the right way. And if he finds out, the preacher that he's, if she finds out, the prayer warrior, if they ever get a hold of the promises of God, that they're the head and not the tail, they are going to break generational strongholds I've had in their family for 10 years, and I don't want to give up territory. Oh, but you came to the house of God, and now you are breaking that thing, and it's going to not change your life, but every person that's connected to your life. Oh, give a praise tonight. Let's go for service. Amen. So the Amalekites came and fought Israel. So Israel wasn't picking this fight. They were just getting picked on. So the scripture says that they got fought. Now, this is so important. Can I go a little deeper, okay? I know the time. I'm going to jump as much as I can, okay? The Bible says the Amalekites. The word Amalekite in the Hebrew means valley dweller. Valley dwellers. So, let's just see this. Israel actually means God will prevail. God's people are always overcomers. As they were headed towards their promised land, which many of you are, that's why you're here tonight and you're watching online, you're going to hear this on podcast, or you're going to tune back in, is you are headed to your promised land, And as you're headed to your promised land, I want you to see that nowhere in this text do we read that Satan showed up. But we do read that valley dwellers showed up. I'm trying to help you. I prophesy prosperity and goodness of God, but let me tell you who else is going to show up in 2019. Valley dwellers are going to show up. Valley dwellers are going to show up. So who try to stop God's people were valley dwellers. People that are used to living in the valley of life. And they're going to come and they're going to try and discourage your walk with God. They're going to come and say, why are you fasting? That fasting ain't going to work. All you're doing is you're missing out. And you're going to see they're going to buy you cheeseburgers. You'll be like, why are you buying me cheeseburgers on the day that I'm fasting? What is happening right now? They're like, all of a sudden I decided to fast and they want to buy me lunch. You know, out of all the time. They never buy me lunch, but I fast. And now, valley dweller is trying to get me to dwell in the same valley they live in. Valley dweller's gonna DM you. I went to your DMs. I'm coming for you. Valley dweller's gonna DM you. Valley dweller say, hey, come to my. And the valley look like a party in the valley, but it's still a valley. Valley dweller's gonna ask you on a date. He got a real nice car, but he lives in the valley. Valley dweller's gonna offer you a business opportunity, but you know, I can't do business that way. Valley dweller is gonna come into your life. Valley dweller always comes to try to get you to settle in the valley. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They come for me. Tell your neighbor, say, don't roll with the valley dwellers. Say, don't roll with the valley dwellers. Ain't nothing wrong with being in a valley, but don't you dwell in a valley. Valley dweller, that's what Amalekite means. It means valley dwellers. They dwell, they love living in the valley. And they love bringing people into their chaos and into their dysfunction. And they don't want to get out. They just want you to come into them. And you got to be very careful that you don't move in with a valley dweller. But what if I'm married to one? You better start praying. Come on, somebody. Amen. Okay. Don't take my message out of context. Pastor said that I'm not supposed to. No. You pray for that valley dweller. You come. Come on. Amen. All right. So the valley dwellers come. Now watch this, though. This is so powerful. But the word Rephidim in the Hebrew. So valley dwellers attack. God will prevail his people. The Bible says that they attacked him at Rephidim. The word Rephidim means resting place. What does that mean? That means I gotta be very careful where I find comfort. My comfortable moments. Because when I, and it's what happens, right when you kind of valley dweller, hey. How you doing? Valley dweller came when they were at a resting place. In other words, if you read this context, I don't have time to read it all because I only got 45 minutes left. Just kidding. Come on. Amen. You read the context. The Bible says that they had gotten tired of going from Egypt to the promised land. So they stopped at Rephidim. And when they stopped at Rephidim, the Bible says valley dweller attacked God prevail at resting place. Valley dweller, God prevail at resting place. Be very careful where you spell resting place. Don't you get in the wrong resting places, the wrong places that you don't belong in, that you're trying to find rest because valley dwellers are trying to stop God from prevailing in your life. Come on, somebody. Say amen. So at Rephidim, the Bible says, this all goes down at Rephidim. I've gotten under one verse in 20 minutes. Lord, help me. Okay. Better move quick. All right. At Rephidim, it's all going down. So the scripture then says that the battle happens. And a battle's going to happen in 2019, okay? And I want you to be ready. So when it comes, don't freak out. Don't backslide. Come on, somebody, all right? I want you to be ready because some people, when the battle comes, oh, God's not with me. No, he's with you. In fact, in that moment, he's going to show you how real he is. Okay. You have your goals. You stay focused on God. So the Bible says that they come. And so then Moses is like, okay, it's on then. So verse 9, I'll preach from the screen for the sake of time really quick. In verse 9, the Bible then says this. It says, then Moses said to who? Joshua, choose some of our men, and go to fight these valley dwellers. He encourages Joshua, be very careful who you choose in the moments of battle. How are you going to overcome the battles that are going to come, and how are we going to position ourselves to truly break into what God has for us? And I almost shared with you what the word of the year was in 2019. Don't miss Sunday, because it's going to come inside of your life, and it's going to be heavy, and it's going to be powerful, and you're never going to be the same ever, ever, ever again. Shout amen. Okay? But here is how you're going to win these battles and how you fight your battles. Right on point number one. I got 4 points. I don't know what I was thinking, but just stay with me. Point number one, never fight alone. Never fight alone. So how can I prepare you to win? How can I equip you? Okay? I want to equip you. I want to inspire you. I want to speak to you. I want you to remember this message, okay? Is you never fight alone. You are going to lose the moment you think you are a Rambo in Christianity. You are not Sylvester Stallone. You are not Rambo. You are not Superman. But there's so many Christians that, and it's pride, okay? I say this with love, but it's pride when you think, I got this on myself. That means you're believing in yourself too much. It's pride. We think it's humbleness. No, I'm got it all myself. That's not humbleness. Humbleness is saying, would you pray? Would you help me? It takes more, but we actually pride ourselves in the battles we can win by ourselves. And I'm gonna tell you right now, this is the point I accept in my life. I don't do battle by myself. I got friends that I told pray for me, and these are my goals for 2019. Hey, cover me in prayer, man. You know, I'm texting my pastor friends and people that are my covering, our board and pastoral board advisors, pray for me and speak. And I don't do battle alone. So, I mean, if you're like, I got this by myself, man, pray for me then, man, you know? Because you're gonna need a battle buddy. The Bible says, Joshua, choose some men, our men. I love that word, our. And as I was studying, as I was praying, the Lord began to show me that it says our men, because God was like, don't just go try to get anybody to fight with you. Because see, what happens is some of us, the reason why we still lose is because, yeah, you tell people to help fight with you, but they're not from amongst God's people. Okay. They give you advice. But I say this with love, and I'm just, okay, I'm going to look at the floor because I don't want anybody. But don't go ask marriage advice from the person that was divorced 10 times. I'm looking at the floor. Go find someone, be like, I need to talk to the one that is Christ in their life. They're married for like 50 years, 40 years. How did you stay together? I can't go talk to my nail lady. And no, I'm not picking on nail ladies, okay? I got to be careful. I'm online. If you're a nail lady, God bless you. I'm not picking on you. But, you know, let me go talk because she knows. Let me go talk to my uncle who smokes out in his garage. He got a lot of wisdom. He got a lot. He's smoker tees. You know what I mean? No, talk to him. Okay. All right. He got a lot of wisdom. What do you think, Unc? Okay, Unc ain't gonna help you on that one. You gotta find the right battle buddies. Proverbs 18, verse 1, puts on the screens. Quick, let's move quick. I got 6 minutes. I plan on using all 15. A man who isolates himself, the Bible says, a man who isolates himself seeks pride, his own desire. It's pride. I don't need nobody. I don't need you. I don't need her. I don't need nobody. I know. I heard that before I was saved. Amen. Okay. Seeks his own desire. Fly, pelican, fly. Come on. Yeah. You need prayer. We're going to call you up here in a minute. Come on, somebody. Amen. And the Bible says he rages against all what? Wise judgment. Don't do battle alone. Get planted in the house of God. This year, make it the year that I'm going to be part of the family. Because, you know, you can attend church but not be part of a church. It's two very different things, okay? You can attend it but not be a part of it. How do you know if you're a part of it? You start being part of the family. get to choose some men to battle with you. Choose some women to battle. Get into a connect group. Start making friendships. Watch this, watch this. What's your name? I've seen the back of your head for 6 months. I notice you sit on the fourth row at always the end chair. I ain't mad at you. What's your name? Go to a connect group. Would you do battle with me? Would you pray for me? I'm telling you right now, you're going to find yourself winning a lot faster. Okay? Because now they're carrying it with you. Now they're helping you. Now you're fighting together. And now you're known by people. Because then people say, you know, okay, I got to do that. Okay, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. What time is it? Oh, Jesus, help me. Okay, Pastor Marie, help me. Okay, amen. So the Bible, Moses tells Joshua, choose men. Notice the Bible say, Moses, just sit right here. Somebody's going to come choose you. But so many people think that's how friendships happen. Well, if they were nice, they'd come be friends with me. I'm offended. Nobody has come and chosen me. No, he said, Joshua, you go choose some men to fight this valley dweller that is trying to stop you from your God destiny. So go, but break out of your shell. Stop being a hermit crab. Stop being a loner and say, you know what? I'm going to go to that connect group. I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to go to that prayer partner. I'm going to build some friendships. And I'm once and for all going to be planted in the house of God. And I'm going to have a church family. Come on, family. Give them praise in this house. Amen. Okay. So tell your neighbor, just say, hey, want to be friends? Just tell them, want to be friends? Okay. If you're single, that was very awkward right now. If you're, sorry. So awkward. I thought about that right now, like, want to be friends? I've been waiting for this moment. Oh, I was. Okay, you can't wait. All right. Point number two. I got to wrap this up. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. I'll finish this in just 3 more minutes, okay? Intercessory prayer. Okay. Intercessory prayer. Let's get to the portion. The Bible then says, come on, I love church. How many love church? I love church. I love church. I love church. Okay. The scripture says that Moses then says, Joshua, go choose some men. Don't fight alone. I got this. No, you don't. I do it on myself. No, you won't. Many have tried. Many have failed. You need community. You need people that can fight with you. And let me just say this. Not everybody will fight with you, by the way. I'm pretty sure that Joshua told people, hey, will you come fight with me? Nah, I don't want to fight. Don't get hurt. They'll be like, man, they're mean. No, that's cool. But just choose some, fight, choose, say amen, okay? Okay, so then the Bible says, go. Then Moses says this, says, Joshua, you're going to go fight, but I'm going to go to the mountaintop, and I'm going to climb up the hill. And even Moses will go by himself. Put verse 9, if you can, for me, team, really quick. I'll preach from the screens here. The Bible then says, Moses, I'll choose some from the fight. Like, guys, tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. I want you to see that he stood on top of a hill, that he climbed up to a place. He went up into an altitude. He went through to stand at a certain place and have a peripheral view, to have a view of what was going on. And he said, I'm going to have the staff of God in my hands. And so go to the next verse here. The Bible then says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites, and Moses and Aaron went to the top of the hill. Go to the next verse, verse 11. And it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. What my Bible is then saying is that Moses on the top of the hill, and when Moses' hands are lifted up, that then Joshua's winning. But whenever Moses put down his hands, then Joshua was losing. And the picture here is a spiritual picture of what happens when you keep your hands up in prayer and in worship, and what's going to happen to people that are not in this room. Now, allow me to preach for 45 seconds. Let me talk to some mamas for a moment. Mama, you got to make sure that your hands are up in the house of God, because as long as your hands are up, your children are going to win in school, in their job, in another state, in another country. You got to keep your hands up. You got to keep them lifted in prayer. Let me talk to some people that came to church while their spouse is somewhere drinking, somewhere getting high. As long as you're in here, God is going to reach them over there, but you got to keep your hands up. In other words, sometimes you're going to come to the church, and it's not about you. It's about I came to lift up somebody else in prayer who's in the hospital room, who's in jail right now, who's in another country, who's in another. I got to keep my hands lifted because I don't want them to lose. And I'm telling you, your prayers matter so much. You got to just give God a praise. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor you can't afford to let your hands go down. You gotta have this intercessory. And the Bible says that as long as his hands were up, Joshua was winning. Could it be, and I say this with love, but could it be that maybe our children are not winning because you're not keeping them lifted up? It's real talk. Start playing, brother, because I'll keep preaching. Thank you so much. Yeah. Could it be that in 2019, there'll be some defeats because we didn't lift them up? I know we don't like that responsibility. Oh, Pastor, that's, you know, que será, será, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. Really? It is what it is? Where's that in the Bible? I didn't see that one. Book of Get Out of Here. No. Is what it is. I didn't read that one. But I did read that as long as my hands are up, that Joshua could win. I did read that I'm supposed to intercede and pray. Could it be that this fast we're gonna go on is not about you, but it's about someone else? I don't need a fast, I'm good. Then you're missing it. Could it be that maybe you need to up it up, your fast? Because last time you did, you know, you're like, I'm doing no kale. You didn't like kale anyway. Come on, somebody. Get up to the mountaintop. Okay. I'm fasting kale. You didn't like kale anyway. You bring God your sacrifice. God brings his fire. But there's no fire without no sacrifice. Jesus, help me. Intercessory prayer. This Saturday, first Saturday prayer. Don't miss it, okay? If you're online, you're going to pray with us online too. But we're about to dive into some deep things this year. And I know it's going to be powerful. Let me give you the last 2 points. Just write them down because I got to preach something different this Sunday. And next Wednesday, I'm not preaching. It's going to be powerful, but I will be here. I'll be here every Wednesday. I'm excited. Write this down. Worship. 3, authentic worship. Somebody say authentic worship. I saw authentic worship in this verse because the Bible says that Moses got tired, but someone else lifted up his hands. So I put authentic worship because I see there that Moses was like, sometimes I need someone else to help me lift my hands. And to me, that was a picture of a praise leader who comes up and says, I won't let you keep your hands down. Let's worship him. To me, that was a picture of a prayer partner. To me, that was a picture of authentic, someone saying, we know that life gets hard to lift up other people, to lift up your marriage, to lift up your children, to lift up your community, to lift up souls being saved. But to me, that's a picture of saying, come on, that's why we won't let you keep your hands down in church. Because as long as your hands are up, you're winning. Do you know what the universal sign of victory is when you pass the ribbon? When I ran the marathon that one time? Just kidding. I won. As long as you're like this, you're winning. Come on, somebody. You're winning. Last one, and I'm done. Write this down. Number 4. You ready for a new year? The Word. Because the Bible then says that Joshua, final verse, remember, physical, spiritual reality in the New Testament. But verse 13, the Bible then says this. It says that Joshua overcame the Amalekites and the army with what? And what's the sword of the Spirit in the New Testament? The Word of God. At the end of the day, watch this now. You can have the faith to go into battle, but if you don't got the Word to fight with, you're always going to lose. You're always going to lose. And wherever you're ignorant in the Word of God, the enemy will always overcome you. So wherever you don't know the Word, the enemy will always have that stronghold in your life because you don't know what the Bible says. Did God really say, I don't know. What did Eve do? Eat the fruit because she didn't have revelation. So when you come to church, why do I come? I got to get the Word.
I got, and not just on Sunday and Wednesday, I gotta feast on it on every day. I gotta get the word in me, because this is how I fight, and this is how we're gonna overcome. 2019, number one, what are we gonna do? We're gonna never fight alone. Number two, what are we gonna do? We're gonna intercessory prayer. We're gonna pray over those that we love, over our future. Number three, what are we gonna do? Look at your notes, you got the answers. Come on. And number four, what are we gonna do? I want you to stand to your feet. Come on now, let's pray.
Thanks for joining us today. We pray you were encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Freedom House OC today. See you next week.